This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby, sitting in for Virginia Prescott. If you've ever worked in the service industry, you know firsthand tips can vary wildly. Michael Lynn, a professor at Cornell University's School of Hotel Management, has spent his career trying to figure out why. Turns out there are a lot of factors at play, often having nothing to do with the quality of service at all, everything from a server's posture and handwriting to the religious beliefs and alcohol consumption of the customer. Here's Freakonomics Radio's Stephen Dubner talking to Michael Lynn about the surprising results of his research on tipping behavior and why he thinks it's a failed system.
What about differences in tipping for black customers toward black versus white servers?
Both groups, blacks and whites, will tip a white server more than a black server. And that's even controlling for perceptions of service quality.
So a black customer will tip a black server less than a black customer will tip a white server?
Yes.
All else being equal.
Yes.
Wow. So it's fascinating. What can you tell us about other racial or ethnic groups, Asians, Latinos, immigrants versus, you know, on and on? I'll
sure.
take whatever you have. It's fascinating.
The data on other ethnic groups is more mixed. There are several studies finding that Hispanics tip less than whites, but there are studies showing no Hispanic-white difference in tipping. I haven't yet teased apart what's going on. Why am I getting it sometimes and not others? And the same thing is true with Asians. I do have some studies showing that Asians tip less than whites, other studies showing that they do not. The one thing I can say for certain is that the Asian-white difference, even when it does exist, is very fragile. That is, I can control for things like sex, education, income, and it disappears. The Hispanic white, when it exists, is often robust. I can control for education, income, and it's still there. But I don't find it as consistently as I find the black-white difference.
With all groups, once you control for income, if you can, men versus women as customers, who tips more?
In general, there's no sex difference.
Is that right?
Yeah. And even the sex of server, sex of customer interaction that we talked about previously, it has been observed consistently enough for me to say it's a real effect, but it's not universal. You don't always find that effect either.
I see. What about the age of the customer?
Older customers tend to tip less. They're also more willing – they base their tips on service quality a little bit more than younger people.
Mm-hmm. So let me – you obviously know so much about this strange but common practice of tipping. If you could rewrite the custom, rewrite the social moray, which is obviously impossible because it arrives over a lot of time with a lot of people participating in it, what would you do? How would you make tipping more either sensible or directly related to the things it should be related to and so on?
You know, I think I would outlaw it.
You would.
Yeah. And it might be illegal as it is because of the race of server effect that we had previously discussed. It's you can make the argument that tipping is a condition of employment that has an adverse impact on a protected class.
So it's discriminatory.
It's discriminatory.
Saying.
And the Supreme Court has ruled that even neutral business practices that are not intended to discriminate, if they have the effect of adversely impacting a protected class, are illegal. And so it's not inconceivable to me that there will be a class action lawsuit on the part of ethnic minority waiters and waitresses claiming discrimination in terms of employment. And it's conceivable that tipping might be declared illegal on that basis.
You're talking theoretically or is this a movement that actually exists?
Oh, I know of no such lawsuit right that in existence, but mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. – I've talked to
– Not hard
I've
for you to imagine.
It's not hard for me to imagine. I've talked to lawyers, including people who specialize in labor and employment law, and I've gotten mixed opinions. I mean, some of those lawyers have said, no, the courts would never go there. Others go, no, that is a reasonable theory of the law. That's plausible.
I think it is plausible. My firm would take a good hard look at a case if a server came to us and made that complaint.
Justin Swartz is a lawyer at Outen and Golden in New York City. He represents employees in class action discrimination cases. He's sued some of the biggest restaurants in New York for shorting employees on the tips they deserved. If his firm were to take on a discrimination case like Michael Lynn has proposed, Swartz would pursue two lines of argument.
First would be disparate impact analysis. The purpose of disparate impact analysis is to eliminate what the Supreme Court calls headwinds, policies that make it harder for racial minorities or other people in other protected classes to succeed.
With disparate impact, you don't have to prove that discrimination is intentional. It's a proxy for discrimination.
The idea is that if there's a disproportionate impact on a particular group, here it would be African-American or non-white servers, then the plaintiffs have made the first showing that they need to make in their case.
And the second argument?
The second step, then, is the employer's burden.
Meaning it's up to the employer to prove that tipping is a business necessity, not a custom, but a necessity. Let's say I'm a restaurateur and I come to you and I say, look, I know what you do. I know who you represent. And I want to avoid unfairness. And I also want my business to prosper. So let's say I calculate the average tips in my restaurant and it's 20%. And I hate the fact that wait staff member A earns 50% more than wait staff worker Z because wait staff worker A happens to have these attributes that for whatever reason get a lot of tips. Pooling is complicated for whatever reason. Let's just say I don't want to deal with all that complication. So I'm just going to say on my menu to my clientele, we're getting rid of tipping because it's inefficient, sloppy, and potentially discriminatory. Average tips here were about 20%. And therefore, we're just going to ban tipping and instead raise our prices 20%.
I don't see any problem with that from a labor law perspective. And in fact, that might be the best way for restaurants to insulate themselves from liability.
Now, you may know that some restaurants in the U.S. have already eliminated tipping. They use an automatic service charge instead. If customers want to, they can tip on top of that service charge. One restaurant in San Diego called The Linkery has gone so far as to ban tipping. If you leave extra money on top of The Linkery's 18% service charge, that money will be given to charity. Jay Porter owns The Linkery. He thinks tipping is absolutely ridiculous.
If tipping had never been invented and you were starting a restaurant, would you use tipping as the way to compensate your best employees, your most important employees, all your employees? Would that be the system that you would pick in a vacuum to compensate your team? And I think the answer is clearly no, because it's a stupid system. So why not do it the right way, even if it's a little scary?